I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
for joining us today. I'm Pastor Trudy, and I serve Wood River and Alda United Methodist Churches, and I'm so glad that you continue to connect with us online. And if this is your first time connecting with us, we give thanks for you. We invite you to let us know you're connecting by clicking like or leaving a comment below so that we can pray for you during the week. I just want to lift up a couple of announcements. One of them is that we are setting aside Wednesdays from 11:30 to 12:30 to pray for the church. Pray that our love would abound and the love of Christ would transform our hearts. And that's just the beginning of discovering the mission and ministry that God has for us during this time period in history, that each generation, God calls us to live our faith. And how are we going to be called to live our faith now as churches are rebooting and discovering we're living in a different world? And so I invite you to pray for us, whether you can pray during that day or during that hour, or just making sure you set aside time to pray for the church. Also, we want to let you know that we have changed our mask requirement or guideline from being required in worship to strongly recommended. And so we invite you to come with how you are comfortable, but we really want to encourage you now to social distance as much as possible, and also to we encourage you to wear your mask until you're seated, just as you're, if you're moving about the church. And also, just to let you know, if this is the first time and you're just trying to find that time when you are ready to join in-person worship, that we also have our fellowship time after worship. And so we invite you to come, but we're also glad that you can join us online if that's how you can join us in worship, because we're connecting more than just the community of Wood River and Alda, but in other communities, and we give thanks for that. I invite us then to enter into our time of worship with a prayer, inviting the Holy Spirit, and also praying for our world. And so let us pray. Lord, we just come and pause before you just to focus our hearts and our minds upon you. And so, Lord, just help us just to take a few moments to take a deep breath and to focus on what you want us to hear today. Lord, I'm so thankful that we can set aside time to refocus, realign our hearts and our lives toward your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come just as we are, but Lord, we want the Holy Spirit to come and to transform our hearts so that we can grow in your love, so that we can love more fully in the world, to love like you loved us through your Son, Jesus, sacrificially. And so, Lord, we come to also lift up all of those who are celebrating. We give thanks for the joys that you give us as we come to worship, to praise your name, but we also come together as your people, many of us needing your healing and your restoration, praying for those that are struggling, and also praying for those who are grieving this day and just need a word of hope that you are still with them. And so, Lord, help them to trust your promises, to trust in your love. And, Lord, we just lift up our world to you, knowing that you are a God of love and peace, and you are continuing to work for good, your good in the world. And so, Lord, give us eyes to see so that we can participate in your great world by sharing the love of Jesus. Oh, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us. Connect us in your love. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we have been in a sermon series called First Love, and we've been focusing on our perspective, our priority, our passion, and to catch you up, all of that is Jesus. It's one of those when you want to know what the right answer is for a children's sermon, the answer is Jesus. And so we're coming together, journeying through the letter to the Philippians written by Paul. It's often called the letter of joy, but what is interesting, a letter of joy that is written from prison. And Paul is facing trial and ultimately death. And so we know that he is struggling, but yet he's writing this letter to the church in Philippi in order to encourage them. And we kind of find out today that, and it was a little bit earlier, but there's also a reason he's trying to encourage them, that maybe they've gotten a little bit off track, and he is inviting them to come back and live the life of Christ. And so I'm going to begin by our word for today is poured out. And so we're going to read from Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. But I want you Beginning with verse 12, I decided to go back a little bit and read part of what we read last week. And I'm going to end my reading here at verse 18, but we will talk about all the verses through chapter 3, verse 4, but we'll address those a little bit later in the message. So I invite you to hear the word of God. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in accordance to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we are, a message went out to people that with the question, what's a t-shirt got to do with it? And that's a good question. What does a t-shirt got to do with the word of God? We sent out on Facebook an email for everyone that was coming to worship and also for you too, to wear your favorite t-shirt for worship. And some of you might have gotten the message. Some of you maybe forgot, and some of you couldn't find your favorite t-shirt. If you are wearing your favorite t-shirt, if you aren't wearing your favorite t-shirt, I invite you to think about which t-shirt would that be? Is it your favorite t-shirt because it's comfy? Or does it have your favorite team that you support? Does it have a cool saying on it? So many t-shirts today have a really cool saying. Again, though, what does a t-shirt have to do with it? We received here at the church a grant for our youth and our children. And since it had been a difficult year, and so often we feel disconnected, we wanted to let them know that we cared about them and that we loved them. And so we invited them to order a t-shirt, and we used the grant to pay for that, and to help connect them and to let them know we think about them. And a big thank you to Cassie Watts. She made all of the t-shirts for us, over 60 t-shirts. And so that is really exciting. So what does a t-shirt have to do it besides that your pastor likes to wear t-shirts? And now she's encouraging you to wear t-shirts to church also. My t-shirt, maybe you're wondering what it says. You aren't able to see it online, and it's crazy that I have to look down and read it, but it says, shine like stars in the sky. Does that sound familiar? That's from our scripture text today. It might be a stretch, I realize, but I think we can use this illustration of t-shirts to connect us with our text today in maybe a unique way. Last week, we talked about how we are to be unified, how we are to have the same mind as Christ among us. You know, teams wear the same t-shirt or uniform to show they are working together as a team toward the same purpose. As we come together today, we come thinking about not only just wearing our t-shirt, but also what unifies us as we come together. We come together to worship, to praise God, to rehearse the great story of God's redeeming grace through his Son, Jesus Christ, and to declare Jesus is Lord. And so we come together unified in purpose. And we come today to focus on, maybe it's that compass verse that we have been using all through Philippians. We come to declaring, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings and becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead, coming together with a purpose to know Jesus, not just a head knowledge, but to know Jesus as a relationship, as friend, as Savior, and as Lord. And so we come together recognizing we all may have a t-shirt on, but we all chose a different one, except for those who ordered the same t-shirt that are our children and youth. And there is something beautiful about unity in the body of Christ. And they believe there's something beautiful in the uniqueness that we all look different and that we all have different things that we love and that we like. I believe that's just a picture of the body of Christ, that we're called to have the same mind as Christ, the same servant heart that like Christ had to lay down his life for us, and then he was raised up. And so we're to have that same mind, but we each are different. And we have been uniquely gifted and created to live out in faithfulness and unity in the church. We may do it in different places and spaces, our confession of Lord, but we do it as a way to declare who we are. But one of the things about a t-shirt is we often change our t-shirt, right? I at least hope so. But we need to recognize that being a Christian, followers of Jesus, is living more than a t-shirt statement life. I can wear a t-shirt that declares Jesus is Lord and not match how I live my life. It's kind of like wearing a Be Kind t-shirt, which, yes, I even have one of those, and not living life with kindness. It's not who you are. You're just wearing it on the outside, telling other people to be kind to you, but not showing the same kind of kindness to them. Or maybe it's like wearing a Wood River or a Husker t-shirt or whatever your favorite school or team is, and then cheering for the other team. What we wear or confess is not just to be a confession that is not actually lived out. It is actually to be, it is worked into us, and then it is to be worked out of us in our daily lives. Paul tells us that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And I think it's really important that we pause here to make sure that we understand what this is not. That Paul does not mean that we need to work for our salvation. We cannot work for our salvation. Salvation is grace. It is a gift of God. Salvation is God's work in us as we receive through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. God working in us through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a gift that God gives us and begins to work in us. And then we are called to work out that salvation, live out that salvation. What God works in us is to be worked out into our community and world, lived out. Live it out. Jesus so impacts us that it affects our whole life. Our whole life. Not just a portion of our life, not just our Sunday morning life or our Tuesday afternoon life, but our life. I ended last week's sermon with a statement that comes from our devotional, First Love, written by J.D. Wall. Lest this truth, Jesus is Lord, becomes a more personal, everyday, walking around lifestyle, it really means nothing. Confessing Jesus as Lord is a confession that unifies us as a church, a community of faith. But more than that, it causes us, invites us to have the same mind, same heart, the servant heart. And so we're invited to say, what does that look like? Our text begins with what it doesn't look like. And I think we need to hear this as a church, reminding us that when we live in a dark and often ugly world that is broken, as it is so evident right now, our first invitation is not to contribute to the darkness by complaining and arguing and grumbling. The church grumbling and complaining just adds to the darkness and dims our witness, and that's exactly where the enemy wants us to be. What do our voices sound like to the world? I always wonder that as a church, those that are, have the mind of Christ. Because sometimes our own voices as followers of Jesus Christ become barriers to the gospel being proclaimed. The love of Jesus, the transforming power of his grace. I don't like to listen to grumbling and complaining. So when we do it, may that be a reminder that that's not the statement that we want to make. Grumblers, complainers, we are the church. But he tells us that we are to shine among them like stars in the sky, or another translation, as lights in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. Holding firmly, fixing our position, and focusing on the word of life, Jesus Christ, revealed to us in Scripture through the power of the Holy Spirit, fixing our eyes on Jesus individually, making the decision that brings light to the darkness. I don't know about you, there's beauty in stars shining in the sky. Even one star, you are drawn to it in the sky as they begin, as the darkness, the sun sets, and you see that very first star. But yet, how much more beautiful if you are out in the countryside where there are not a lot of lights, and you see the mass of millions of stars. You see the Milky Way stretched across the sky. Each individual important to that beauty. Together, unified, those lights bring an amazing beauty. And that's what the church is supposed to be. Don't get church, the people of God, those who proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, Christ followers, shining together, shining the love and hope of Jesus Christ in the darkness. Letting the world know that darkness does not overcome. Just as Jesus was not overcome by darkness, his light shined in the darkness. So we, as followers of Jesus Christ, shine his light to the world. to be signs of God's beauty, that God is bringing new life, that God is bringing resurrection hope. And so to be a shining star, we have to remember, though, that we live in what we often call the upside down kingdom of God, where what is up is actually down in the kingdom of God. And so to shine like stars, that seems easy for some of us in so many ways, but Paul wants to show us what that actually looks like in the upside down kingdom of God, where down is up. First of all, stop your grumbling and arguing. Why do we usually grumble and argue? It's usually based on a self-focus instead of an outward focus of sharing the love of Christ. Recognizing and gaining and refocusing our perspective, our priority, and our passion, that we become the visible sign of love poured out in the world. Holding firmly through it all to Jesus, the Word of Life. Our scripture, Paul says, in our scripture today, that I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. Poured out as a drink offering. Our devotional talked about what that means in the context of where Paul was out. To pour out a cup of wine was an act of worship to God. The worshiper does not drink any of it for themselves. It is poured out as a sign of the victory and joy of God. In other words, it's a complete sacrifice, a whole sacrifice. And he's casting a bold vision for us to give our whole life to Jesus. And he gives us examples of what that looks like, and he goes on to tell us about two people, Timothy being one of them. Timothy was one that Paul had mentored in the faith, that he had encouraged as a young man, and Timothy had proved himself as a man who loved Jesus and served faithfully. He talks about his faith, and he talks about his genuine concern for the welfare of God's people. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not the interests of Jesus Christ, but Timothy was different. He didn't look out for his own interests. He had a genuine concern. Jesus became so important to him that the interests of Christ were so bound up into his life that they became his interests, that others would know the love and power of Jesus Christ. And so he served and worked for the gospel. He worked out his salvation through care for others and concern for others and giving himself in service. And so we are to have a genuine faith that lives out a concern. We lived in a fallen world, and people need to know Jesus. They need to experience his salvation. And so our lives become an overflow of Christ. That it's not a t-shirt that we wear, but we are actually working it out in the world. Christ's love. And proclaiming Christ's love. Through his life, his death, and his resurrection. That he came to us as a servant, to serve, to lift us up, those who believe in order to have eternal life, those who confess Jesus as Lord. Not looking to our own interests, but the interests of others. The more love is worked out, the less interest we have in ourselves. The other one is Epaphroditus. There's a name that's hard to say, and who knows? I mean, hopefully I said it right. He was a brother and co-worker and soldier in the faith and a messenger. He was the one that brought the message from Philippi to Paul. He was the messenger that almost lost his life. And he was the messenger that gave it all. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him so that you will see him again and may be glad, and I'll have less anxiety, Paul says. There's something about welcoming and honoring those. He says, so welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He gave his whole life. He risked it for Christ. Now, many of us today will not have to face death when we give our lives to Christ. Some do. But what does that look like in your life? To sacrifice your life and your agenda and your own interests in order to lift up Christ so others would be known. That actually the interests of Christ become ours. That we would so love, that we would give up for others to come to know Jesus and to grow in Jesus and to love Jesus and to be changed and transformed. Messengers of the gospel every day of our lives. So what does that look like then, to be a shining star in the sky, in the name of Jesus? It's a life that's poured out. Not grasping for our own glory, but poured out. That all of the gifts and the graces and the resources that God gives us are resources through which we can share the love of Jesus Christ. Many of us have an Epaphroditus that comes to mind when we think about sacrificial love in the community of faith. Who's the Epaphroditus in your life that shows genuine concern and their interests aren't of the most importance? Who is that? Who is the one that's reaching up not to grasp for their own acknowledgement and their own glory and their own honor, but are reaching up to raise their hand in sacrificial service? When I think about that over the past year, I think of our youth group. They showed up. They showed up. When it would have been a risk for many of you to come and serve in the church, the coming together, they were at a reduced risk. And so they showed up to serve and care for the church in many ways. They promoted and organized a food drive. They packed backpacks. They moved tables and chairs. They put together teachers' gifts to provide encouragement for the teachers in their school. They made put together Halloween bags for over 200 kids. To deliver to the school. They did not do it quietly, I will have to admit, but it was quiet service. Many of you maybe did not even know what they were doing. But they served. And so I think those are the things that we need to recognize. And they continue to serve quietly. Many of them will come in. Do you need somebody to run the PowerPoint? Do you need somebody to light the light of Christ? Quietly serving. in a noisy kind of way. Whenever they come to youth group and I ask them, because we don't have all of the people moving and all of the teams moving the way they should, they are so willing. And that's sacrificial for them. And so we honor those who give to the church, and we encourage them to continue to give and sacrifice for Jesus so that others can come to know the love of Jesus. Not looking to our own interests, but the interests of others. We don't do it perfectly, no. But may we grow in our love and service to be the poured out people of God. May our lights shine not to point to ourselves, but when the light of Christ shines through us, people know that there is hope in this dark world. As we care and love others and give the message of Jesus, and we live more than the t-shirt life, that it's a lived faith, a salvation that's worked out in the world so others can come to salvation in Jesus Christ, to grow in their faith, to know Jesus, to know that in the midst of suffering, there is hope, there is resurrection power. Remember, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And so we hold fast to the word of life, Jesus Christ, recognizing we don't do it on our own power. It's a deeper surrendering to the work and power in us. And as we do it as a community, the light shines brighter as we use all of the gifts of the church. But first, we have to surrender our interests in order for the interests of Christ that are actually God's good purpose for us. Nothing better. So we rejoice in the gift of being able to be a light for Christ in the world. There's a prayer of surrender. It's not easy. And it's a gradual work of God in us more frequently. As we receive Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to pray for Christ's interests and not our own. And it's a covenant prayer written by John Wesley. And we're going to use the contemporary version. And so I invite you to pray with me. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you, praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen. I pray that you would know the joy of shining the light of Christ in the world, allowing Jesus to shine through you, however he sees fit to call you. I pray that you go in the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring glory to God the Father. Spend time this week inviting the Holy Spirit to reveal to you Jesus' presence with us, to reveal to you those areas of your life that you've only worked for your own interests instead of the interests of God, and how God can change and transform all those gifts and resources that you have. Invite him to show you and spend time listening. Go in God's peace. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above, ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy. Praise him.